Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News Podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we're going to talk about risk management and specifically the Securities and Exchange Commission's new proposals to expand the disclosure that companies have to make about their risk management efforts and whether or not companies are really up to that task yet. Joining us to talk about this is John Farrell. John is head of the U.S. Practice for Enterprise Risk Management at KPMG. John has been helping clients implement ERM programs for quite a while now, and he's been paying close attention to the SEC's proposals. So, John, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Sure thing. My pleasure, Matt.
Now, first question here is, when we are looking at the whole realm of the SEC's new proposals, and there are a lot, which do you think will be most difficult for companies to get their arms around? For example, there's a lot of talk about risks from executive compensation, and that seems like it might be difficult to pin down, but which ones do you think might be most troublesome for companies to digest?
Yeah. I think that, you know, as you mentioned, there's several components to this proposed rule change, and I think the ones that probably will present, you know, more difficulty and more thinking and analysis and planning are the following. The first is around compensation policies, and what this is really looking for is essentially for companies to disclose where there are risks arising from what are broad compensation policies. So this is broadly speaking, not just executives, where there are risks from compensation policies or practices that could have a material effect on the company's overall risk exposure. So where there's a linkage between incentives and risk-taking. I think this will present a problem or an issue because it really, there's not been a real focus on the compensation lens, I'll call it, from a risk assessment perspective. Companies have really been certainly performing risk assessment, thinking about the risks affecting them, but not so much the ones that arise via incentive plans that are not aligned with the long-term well-being of the company, and that's what this is looking for. So I think that that in particular of the various aspects in the proposed rule will be a bit to contend with. The other thing I think, but perhaps to a lesser degree, will be the one that the component on leadership structure and risk management. And here, essentially, what's looked for is a disclosure of the company's what's called leadership structure in the proposed rule and why the structure is the best arrangement for the company. And this is looking for information around whether the CEO and the chairman of the board are segregated or integrated. You know, is it the same person or not?
Sure.
And why? And this is interesting because, as we all know, in the U.S., different from around many other markets in the world, we've generally coupled those two roles together. So this is going to require a very good explanation as to why that is the same person providing those two perhaps very different roles. And I think that will be of interest, and that will be requiring some rationale and thinking and then disclosure. And along with that, there needs to be a disclosure about risk management at the board level, and so, you know, i.e., what's the board's role in risk management? And I think that that may also present an interesting question for companies because there's such a variety right now of ways in which the boards engage in their oversight responsibilities. Not to say, I think boards have, have all been thinking about this and focused on this, but the way in which the committees of the board and the board itself take on that role will now need to be disclosed, and that's going to present, some issue. And then lastly, and this is probably of the couple I'm talking about, the least, but still I think worth mentioning because it's new and different, is there's going to need to be an expansion on the directors and any nominees' experience and their qualifications. And actually, you know, specifically, I think companies are going to need to talk about directors' risk assessment experience and risk management experience as this becomes an important skill. So that, too, will be, you know, I think will be a something that is hard to pin down and get right.
Along those lines, for example, talking about the board disclosing its role in risk management, are these questions really the SEC's way of diplomatically telling boards, get with the program and be more hands-on about risk management?
Yeah. You know, I think Matt, that's a great question, and you know, I've gotten that question a lot from clients and companies that I speak with, and so let's just step back and look at that. You know, frankly, boards have certainly been involved in the oversight of risk, and we see more and more that there's interest and dialogue and questions and process around boards' involvement in risk management. And, you know, but it just may not be very transparent. It may not be something that, you know, is felt that is seen in the investing public. And so perhaps this is a way for there to be, you know, consistent or at least expected disclosure for people to understand what is, you know, how is the board getting involved. I think that, you know, it's really important to remember that in the case of risk management and risk governance, which is really what this proposed rule change is getting at, it's kind of a one-size-fits-one. There's not really one way to do this. And so it's actually a good opportunity for companies to talk about the unique ways in which the board is engaged and the governance process works for their organization, and the board's approach to that. So I think, you know, more it's about the disclosure and clarity as opposed to necessarily, you know, pushing on board involvement.
So now, last question then. When these proposals get passed, and it seems that in some form or another they are going to pass, regardless of the details of it, are these disclosures going to be things that companies should be looking to measure and capture systematically, or are they going to wind up making more qualitative disclosures about risk management that they can't quite pin down but are going to be, I guess, more narrative in nature?
Yeah, I think at this stage, at this early stage, it's tough to say. I mean, you mentioned that, and I think you're right that these – you know, most elements and significant elements of this will come to be reality. But when you think about it, you know, the underlying company that these disclosures are related to are oftentimes going to be global, complex organizations. Thinking about, to your first question, some of those particular disclosures looked for, compensation against risk, and so forth. These are going to be needing detail. This is going to be something that there probably will need to be, to your language, you know, measures and systematic capturing, so that collectively and globally, the information, for example, of compensation policies around the world is properly tracked and understood, and you know, managed, and it may impact how companies, in fact, you know, render policy and think about policy at the end of the day. So I think it is going to be something to be measured, especially in the risk underneath the compensation policies, and certainly systematic in that, as always, these disclosures are very important, looked for, and need to be accurate.
Do you think that there is any risk that they might become boilerplate sort of disclosures that, you know, people are always complaining that's what's in the MD&A in an annual report? It's almost boilerplate and not really that substantive, and I'm wondering if we run the risk that it could go down that path if we're not careful.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. Here's a thing to think about. Mm-hmm. One thing I noted in the proposed rule language is that the disclosures are requested, but then in most cases, rationale is also requested. And the rationale may drive less boilerplate, because the company's going to have to say, if in fact, you know, for example, if in fact, you know, I'm company X and I have the same person chairing the board and this and the chief executive officer, here's my rationale for that. I think that the rationale is going to be a place that it's more difficult to have boilerplate, because they need to give specific reasons why that leadership structure is optimal for them.
Okay.
And same with the other disclosures, a rationale is looked for, which I think is a bit of a not only a what, but a why.
All right. John, that is all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty to think about here and a lot of observations, so we really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Thank you.
And again, everybody, that was John Farrell, who is head of the U.S. Practice of Enterprise Risk Management for KPMG, and he was talking with us about the new risk management disclosures currently being reviewed by the SEC. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.